The act that was introduced earlier this week in the Senate looks at almost throwing away a little bit the current federal hiring system, which now requires in a lot of cases for candidates who are interested to answer a number of essays on that address their knowledge, skills, and abilities. This act would eliminate that piece and simply require for the majority of positions an applicant to simply submit a cover letter and a resume.
How it seems almost impossible that could. I mean, feds. That's not the way feds think.
Yeah, well, again, you know, this has only been introduced at this point. We'll see whether or not it gets the support that it needs and gets the legs. But certainly, one of the things that we here at the partnership, regardless of where you are in your career path and your experience level, if you're wanting to get into federal government, the biggest barrier for most people is not the lack of interest. It's actually accessing and getting into the system itself. The federal application process is foreign to almost everyone outside of government.
Well, yeah.
So for them to say, look, we're going to actually put it on par with what you would do if you were applying for a private sector job or a nonprofit job, Chris, as you said, is really almost unheard of, but it really does eliminate the biggest single barrier that we hear is wrong with the federal hiring process.
Would this be standardized across government so all agencies would use this single process?
Yeah. Yes. Again, what it really looks at is across government that you need to simply submit the cover letter and your resume. It goes one step further as well in terms of just what you'd need to submit. In several cases, or in a lot of cases, there's also a kind of collateral materials that you often need to submit with your federal resume as well. So, for instance, you may need to submit a college transcript or a law school transcript when you apply. The Federal Hiring Process Improvement Act says, you know what, those may be important, but they may not have to be submitted when you initially apply. Let's actually wait and get that when we really need it. Are you going to make a decision to interview somebody based on that, or are you going to make a decision that they're even somebody that you may want to interview based on that, or is that something that you can ask in a as a second step?
So what this sounds like to me is that folks on Capitol Hill, lawmakers, are starting to recognize that the application process to become a federal employee is more cumbersome maybe than necessary, and maybe this is a response to that so that they can get more people in, more new blood into the federal system.
I think that's absolutely right, Amy. And again, you know, our research across all types of individuals says that people are interested in government. We've talked, you know, for the last several weeks, probably months now, about, you know, what's driving some of that interest in public service. Now it's not just you know, mission and the opportunity to make a difference, but it's also, you know, economic driven as well. Government's at a really unique time and place right now to really enable itself to ensure that it has the very best talent that it needs to get the job done. Many of those people, regardless of economic condition and everything else that's out there, get turned off by the process and say, you know what, it's just not worth it. What at least a couple members of Congress are saying is, let's take that off the table and make sure that that's not standing in the way of anybody who is thinking about government service to act upon that.
And if you want to make government cool again, the good place to start is making the hiring process at least manageable.
Yes, absolutely. So, Amy, the other question that you asked earlier is, where does the partnership, fall out on this? We have been for the entirety of our 8-year history, advocates of making government more transparent and improving the hiring system, and certainly this falls well in line with that. And again, some other things that are involved in the Federal Hiring Process Improvement Act are things like transparency as well. So, right now, the Office of Personnel Management almost 8 or 9 months ago released an end-to-end hiring initiative where it calls for some new ways for agencies to look at things, including setting out a timeline of about 80 days in terms of the time to hire. The act actually goes with that 80 days and says that agencies should be bringing on talent from the time that they post it within 80 days of that posting. So again, I think, you know, the good work that OPM did on that end-to-end hiring initiative, there, which is not requiring an agency to follow those guidelines, Congress is now saying, you know what, some of the stuff in here they really should be held accountable for. And it's not an option. They really need to do it.
And finally, do you see a lot of support out there for this bill? Where does it go from here?
Well, I think there's a significant amount of support for it. I think, you know, most importantly, what this bill begins to do is put that the hiring system and the hiring process, there are some things wrong with it, and we need to reevaluate it. And I think that they put some clear recommendations on the table to say, at least here's a starting point. This may not be the end point, but at least here's the starting point to have the dialogue about what needs to change, because right now it is broken and it needs to be fixed.
And a good place to start a conversation about, if this isn't the way we fix it, how do we fix it?
Yeah, absolutely right. And let's start from, okay, what is everybody else doing that does seem to work, and why won't it work in this environment?